Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Are you on a quest for something more? Are you in search of that one thing that will bring contentment to the heart and peace to the soul? I know I was at one time. Richard, I know you were on that same quest, and that's just part of being human. We know that something's missing inside. Well, that was the case for a Samaritan woman that happened to encounter Jesus as he was traveling through Samaria on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem. And I think it's one of the most interesting encounters in the Word of God in Jesus's ministry. So Jesus meets her and asks this question, you know, can you get me some water? Please give me a drink. And she responded and was very surprised and said, listen, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Because Jews and Samaritans just did not interact with each other. There was a hatred that flowed between those two groups. Yet at this moment, a Jew was asking a Samaritan for a drink of water. And Jesus replied, if only you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. And she says, well, you know, you don't have a bucket or a rope long enough. You know, how are we going to get this? And is it going to be any better than the water Jacob has for us? And Jesus said, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. That's what we're on the quest for. That's what we're searching for, is eternal life. We may not know that. We may not be able to articulate that, but that's what we need. And Jesus has provided that for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And the woman said, please give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. She's still not, you know, getting exactly what he means. And he says, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. And he said, she said, I don't have a husband. And he says, well, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands. You aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Where did her quest lead her? From one man to the next, to the next, to the next. The first husband didn't bring contentment to her soul. The second husband left her empty. The third husband, the same thing, all the way through husband number five, and she discards him and goes to the sixth man, and she's not even going to marry him because she knows the other five, you know, haven't worked so well. But she doesn't know where else to turn. And yet, with all of that, her heart is still empty. Her heart is still longing for something more. If you want to find contentment in life, there's only one place to go, only one person to turn to. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the one that can save us from our sins. He's the one that can turn our hearts away from the things of this world that are so empty and leave us wanting, to him who satisfies to the very depths of who we are. If you're on that quest, we would love to hear from you today. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call right now. We would love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper. Well, we're going to start in Merrick, New York, and talk with Lewis, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome, my friend. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. You know, in a previous, actually a previous caller had mentioned something about hearing a song on the radio, and just before he was about to go to a pornography shop, and he was kind of wondering, was that God who arranged that? And I really liked the way you answered it, because it was the truth. But I just wanted to, basically talk about, do you believe that God can use circumstances like that to show his desire to stop us from going in the wrong direction?
Well, Lewis, as he talks about, in one of the letters to Corinthians, there's no temptation that's not common to man, but with every one, there's always a way of escape. There's a window. There's an opportunity to flee, to turn and run, and sometimes circumstances show us that and prick our hearts in a certain way to make us stop just right on a dime and turn and go the other way. I certainly think God works in those ways. I think for young believers, we hear story after story of, a young believer going Christmas shopping and praying, Lord, just give me a parking spot right up close so I don't have to walk. And sure enough, there's a parking spot. Now, was that an answer to God's prayer, to this person's prayer or not? I don't know, but for that young believer, they're saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But we grow up. And when we grow up, we don't need those signs so much. It's okay if we have to park, far out in the parking lot and walk in. That's okay to us. We still know that God loves us. Why? Because we're anchored to that love that he expressed to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. But I certainly know in my life, I've heard different songs that have just pricked my heart in a way that made me change my thinking, change what's going on inside of me. And you have to think, that's God. That's God involved with us, loving us, doing his work in us. I think God works in those ways. And, when we stop, then I think he takes it the next step. He shows us, again, what that love is really like as expressed to us and demonstrated to us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because that's really the substance of his love, and that's what really changes us from the inside out.
And when you study the Bible and really lean into all that happened as a result of Christ's resurrection, I know you gentlemen know this, but you feel his love and you sense his love in deeper and deeper ways. And for that previous caller, I was very impressed. I felt like I've had situations like that where God was reaching out to me before I was going to do something that was really bad for me and against his will for what's best for my life. And I was so excited that guy was getting, a message from God not to go in that direction. And certainly as a beginning believer, it has happened for me. I'm not a beginning believer anymore. I'm a little more mature, but I still see those God incidences, as I'm sure I hope a lot of other mature believers see as well.
Yeah, there are those God instances in our lives, and they all, point us directly to Jesus and to his word. And sometimes we just rely on those experiences, and then when those experiences don't come anymore, then we're all confused. And that's where experience can become a problem to us.
That's
what keeps us from growing in grace and growing in our relationship for Christ. We keep looking for those experiences, those signs of God's love, and we fail to see the clear sign of his love in the cross of Jesus Christ. So,
all right, great. A good reminder. Thank you. It's an excellent show, and again, I appreciate your taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure, Lewis. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this three CD series called Profiles in Character, just to say thanks
thank
for
you.
Being a part of today's broadcast.
You hang
on,
okay? God
bless
you guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Well, that offer is available.
Yes.
We rely on gifts from people, from our listeners, to carry out the work of this ministry. Without folks contributing of their prayers and their financial resources. We certainly cannot be on the air. So it's vitally important that those who have been touched by this ministry to join in, to partner with us so that others can hear the same good news. A contribution of any amount is a significant contribution to this work. And we want to say thank you to those who support what God is doing through Basic Gospel. And this month, our way of saying thank you is this three message series called Profiles in Character. I look at three familiar stories in the gospel accounts that all have Samaritans as the heroes in those stories. And that's kind of odd when you realize the nature of the relationship between Jew and Gentile, but sometimes it's unlikely heroes that teach us the most valuable lessons.
Yes.
And what we see in these Samaritans are really the qualities and characteristics God is looking for as far as we're concerned. And he shows us there's only one way for those qualities and characteristics to manifest themselves through us, and that's as we rely and depend upon Jesus. He's the one that can turn an old hard heart into a thankful heart. He can take the emptiness and the restlessness and the struggle that we have inside of us and turn it into contentment and peace. And he can give us real purpose and meaning to our lives so that every single action and or activity that we involved in, whether no matter how noble or how, you know, just mundane, can be something significant in the sight of God. And we want to put this in your hands, and it's our way of saying thank you for joining with us in bringing this good news to people all over the way, all over the world through the Basic Gospel broadcast. So
yes,
stand with us.
Please
here
do.
Are two ways that you can help: by calling 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Talk with Billy. She would love to chat with you. She's a wonderful lady, and we'll just make that process of giving so easy. Or you can go to our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the support link, and all the information is right there for you. Well, again, you are listening to Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of today's today's edition of Basic Gospel. Well, let's go out to Indianapolis and talk with James, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, James.
Well, hello. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you guys being on the air. I praise God for you guys. You guys have taught me an incredible amount listening to you. There's one thing that gets on my nerves, I guess, when it comes to the holiday of Christmas, and I think it's definitely being taken away from Jesus's birth, and which led me into some studies about the Christmas tree, and being now it's kind of considered more or less a pagan holiday, and I don't want to bring this Christmas tree this year into my home without some kind of biblical backup of whether it's okay or not. Get anything for that?
Well, here's what I would ask you, James, is this. Are you worshiping the tree? Are you calling that tree God?
No, sir.
Yeah. So that's the issue. If you look through the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, one of the themes is this theme of worship. And God is always asking the question, what or whom are you worshiping? And there were certainly people in the Old Testament that would chop down a tree. They would use some of the tree for firewood. They would use other parts of the tree for just practical things. And then they would use another part of the tree as a, you know, they would carve a statue out of it. They would put it on a table, and they would bow down and worship it and call it God. And so that was wrong. That wasn't God. God, the one true God, created that tree. That tree has no power in and of itself. If you carve a statue and put it on a table, there's only one way it can move from that table somewhere else, if a human being comes over and picks it up and carries it. So if you're worshiping the tree, then there's some problems. There are some issues. That's a violation of commandment number one. You've made an idol out of something, and you are worshiping it. And certainly we see that throughout the Old Testament. I think there's some passages there.
Yes, Isaiah 1:29 talks about it. They use the word trees in certain translations, and Ezekiel 20:32. In both cases, God is telling Israel, stop being like the pagan nations. Stop worshiping trees. Stop making gods out of things that are created rather than the true creator.
Yeah. So, James, if you're worshiping the tree, then that's the problem. But if you just recognize it as a tree that God made, you're decorating it just to decorate it, there's no issue there, because the issue of worship isn't being violated. Your worship is to the one true God as revealed to you in Jesus Christ. But I can certainly understand, James, if you in your studies at this point have come to that conclusion, I don't want to have a Christmas tree. I want to really make this a pure, focused celebration on Jesus and Jesus alone. You make that decision. Mm-hmm. That's a great decision for you and your family. And so let the Lord lead you in that, okay?
Yes, sir.
Does that help?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I appreciate it. It's been something I've been dealing with, and it's been kind of contemplating back and forth in my mind for a while. And I remember reading at one point in time that they did take the trees in the house and put nails on them, and God didn't like that, so it was kind of conflicting, but the main thing was the pagan holiday in the Christian church. They eventually put in, tried to knock out the birth of Christ and put in this Christmas tree kind of deal. So that definitely, I'm definitely not worshiping no idol in it. And
Well, James, recognize this: Satan is going to do everything in his power to take Jesus out of anything and everything. We shouldn't be surprised by that. But recognize truth, and recognize that it's a matter of worship. What Satan really wants you to do, and wants the world to do, is to bow down and worship him. And so he uses these things as an opportunity to draw your attention away from truth, and hopefully capture your heart in such a way that you'll worship him. So just bring it down to that point of worship. Whom am I worshiping? And you know in your heart, your worship is directed toward Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ alone. So let that be the message of Christmas this year for you, okay?
All right, bless you.
Hey, thanks for your call, James. Great question. Well, let's go to another James listening to us in Utica, New York. Hi, James.
Hi, good evening. I just want to ask a question and everything. The brother that was in the early program was talking about the Holy Spirit, about being indwelt or being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Correct. And those are two different things. Indwelling happens to every believer at the moment of salvation. Jesus comes to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. Being filled is a moment-by-moment process.
Now, being filled, is that the same as being baptized?
No, being filled is not the same as being baptized. Being filled is God's Spirit renewing our minds, giving us an understanding of the love of God, so that the love of God can be the motivating factor in every decision we make and in every relationship that we have.
Right. Now, and Matthew 28, when Jesus told his apostles to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, and he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Is he talking about salvation there?
Well, I think it's a little deeper than that.
So in other words, what I'm trying to say is do a believer, is a believer baptized with the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation?
A believer is baptized with the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. They are, and baptism simply means to immerse into or to place into. So the moment you're saved, you are immersed into the life of Jesus Christ. You are placed into Him and Him alone. So that's a spiritual happening that the Holy Spirit does for each and every one of us. I think what Jesus is saying to His disciples there at the end of Matthew 28, what we know as the Great Commission, we've used it as an evangelistic tool, go out and save people. But it says to make disciples of all nations, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And in between is baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, immersing them into this life that is theirs in Christ Jesus. I think that's what this is all about. And so that word baptize is the placing into.
Well, there's three. What I'm trying to say is there's three ways that we receive the Holy Spirit then, and dwelling, being filled, and being baptized.
Well, we don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit placing us into the body of Christ.
So we receive that at salvation then.
That's correct.
Yeah. So we would we would say that the indwelling and the baptism are the same thing.
One and the same.
Oh.
And the and the filling is
the ongoing.
The ongoing.
Day by
where
day,
it dwelt by
moment.
God's Spirit. So God's Spirit, James, is inside of you, and He is renewing your mind with truth. He is giving you understanding as to what the love of God is all about. And that is a lifelong process. What you know about the love of God today will be expanded tomorrow, which will be expanded even more the next day, which will be expanded even more the next day. That's the result of God's work in you through His Spirit, which is called the filling of the Spirit. And so as your mind gets more and more filled with an understanding of the love of God, you will recognize that love being expressed to others in relationship.
Amen. That's great. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, excellent. James. Excellent question.
Yes,
I mean, that's just about as practical as it gets as far as this Christian life is concerned. So thanks for bringing that to today's edition of Basic Gospel. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this CD series, Profiles in Character. Thanks, James. You hold on. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We come to the end of another edition. Boy, this flies, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And we certainly apologize to Melvin and Sylvia for not being able to get to your calls today. If you will hold on, some of our off-air folks will answer your call for you. Or if you would like to, you can call on tomorrow's broadcast. We just encourage you to call earlier in the program. That way we will be sure to get to you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I want to make mention again of our financial need. Basic Gospel is totally listener supported. We rely on friends just like you, who have been touched by this ministry, who want to respond and give back a gift of $10, $100, $1,000, whatever you have that you can comfortably give. We encourage you to do so, and to do so today. There are several ways that you can make a contribution to Basic Gospel. The first is by calling Billy at our toll-free order line, 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Billy is just one of the most delightful women you'll ever speak to, and so pick up the phone and call her. Tell her that you would like to make a gift to Basic Gospel. She'll walk you through that process. Or you can go to our website at basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net. There is a support link very prominently displayed. Simply click on that link and follow instructions. But as our way of saying thanks, we want to put this CD set profiles and character in your hands. Well, thanks for being a part of today's broadcast. We'll be with you again tomorrow at this same time.